The following recording, New York 14, is copyright the International Dialects of English Archive. Comaget Secure is copyright Douglas N. Onoroff, Jill McCullough, and Barbara Somerville.
Well, here's a story for you. Sarah Perry was a veterinary nurse who had been working daily at an old zoo in a deserted district of the territory. So she was very happy to start a new job at a superb private practice in North Square near the Duke Street Tower. That area was much nearer for her and more to her liking. Even so, on her first morning, she felt stressed. She ate a bowl of porridge, checked herself in the mirror, and washed her face in a hurry. Then she put on a plain yellow dress and a fleece jacket, picked up her kit, and headed for work. When she got there, there was a woman with a goose waiting for her. The woman gave Sarah an official letter from the vet. The letter implied that the animal could be suffering from a rare form of foot-and-mouth disease, which was surprising because normally you would only expect to see it in a dog or a goat. Sarah was sentimental, so this made her feel sorry for the beautiful bird. Before long, that itchy goose began to strut around the office like a lunatic, which made an unsanitary mess. The goose's owner, Mary Harrison, kept calling Kama, Kama, which Sarah thought was an odd choice for a name. Kama was strong and huge, so it would take some force to trap her, but Sarah had a different idea. First, she tried gently stroking the goose's lower back with her palm, then singing a tune to her. Finally, she administered ether. Her efforts were not futile. In no time, the goose began to tire, so Sarah was able to hold on to Kama and give her a relaxing bath. Once Sarah had managed to bathe the goose, she wiped her off with a cloth and laid her on her right side. Then Sarah confirmed the vet's diagnosis. Almost immediately, she remembered an effective treatment that required her to measure out a lot of medicine. Sarah warned that this course of treatment might be expensive, either 5 or 6 times the cost of penicillin. I can't imagine paying so much, but Mrs. Harrison, a millionaire lawyer, thought it was a fair price for a cure. I went to Catholic schools on Long Island. Catholic Grammar School, 1st to 8th grade at Holy Spirit, and Catholic High School at Chaminade, which also says that, I guess if you're listening to my accent, I don't have much of the sort of Jewish Long Island thing, having spent all my time around Catholics. So I really wasn't exposed to that dialect. And when I went to college, I went to the University of Virginia, and it always used to drive me crazy because people would meet me and, you know, of course they'd say, you're a Yankee, where are you from? I'd say, you know, New York. They'd say, where? And I'd say Long Island, and they would say, oh, Long Island? And I would look at them and I would think, why are they doing it? And everybody would do that. Oh, Long Island? And I didn't get the joke. I really didn't get the joke because nobody I had ever met on Long Island had ever said Long Island. And then I joined a Jewish fraternity, actually, in Virginia, and over time began to realize where on Long Island we were talking about that accent coming from. I went down there, my roommate was a guy that I knew from Long Island, who also went to Chaminade with me, and his name was Foster, and it was always Paul and Foster. Hey, Foster, dude, say, man, Foster, let's do this, and Paul. And I came back, I think, from Virginia after 3 years, saying Paul and Foster, and so people would hear me, you know, say Foster or Paul, and they'd go, where are you from? So that's when I first began to realize that my accent was mellowing a little bit. And then I would listen to my sister, my older sister, who was born and raised and still lives on Long Island. She's got this kind of heavy Long Island, sort of a sing-songy, you know, this kind of thing going on. When she talks to you on the phone, I was talking to Mom the other day, and, oh, Paul, you should see blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I am not related to this person, am I? My dad was born in the States, raised in Portugal by an aunt and a grandmother, and then returned to the States at about 14 or 15. So he had, throughout his life, an accent. When I was 4, he took us to Portugal for like 4 months. And even as a 4-year-old now, I remember the place and the time because it was so different. And we went over on a ship. We loaded up the Oldsmobile on the ship. You crossed the ocean. And then went and lived in this town where the Oldsmobile was the only car. It was all ox carts, ox-drawn carts, dirt roads, No running water, no electricity. We brought Coleman lamps and heaters, and you had the animal bins beneath the house, and the bathroom, I remember, basically was, you know, this room with side-by-side holes cut in these plank seats. So, but then when we returned, I almost never spoke another word of it, because my father, I think, was very conscious of the immigrant thing.